there was something. Oh, my favorite one that we've had recently. We just went and saw Marcus King. You could, for $15, you could get your choice of chicken fingers, which who doesn't like chicken fingers, obviously, or mini corn dogs. And I think a drink, I think. Can't remember. But nowhere to sit and eat it. So you're standing there, like, shoulder to shoulder with everybody, trying to, like, pop mini corn dogs in your mouth, watching a concert. Like, what kind of insanity is this?
I don't know. I mean, they have a pizzeria in Kemba Live was where I saw Turnstile. And yeah, they have a local pizza chain in there.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool.
Hawking slices. But I mean, you're in the same situation. Like, you're eating a slice just like standing around shoulder to shoulder with other people.
Yeah, but at least a slice you can, like, you know, bend in half or fold in half.
Yeah.
With chicken fingers, you gotta have a basket if you're dipping them. Because no one really eats chicken fingers plain.
And this is also true.
Yeah, or what, are you going to get buffalo chicken fingers that shit all over your hands?
Then you need to find napkins, and they never have any at a bar like that.
I didn't know they sold food at the Fillmore. Let alone, like, have napkins. Like, one doesn't add up. But yeah, it was so bizarre. We're like, okay. I think we actually saw someone have the corn dogs, if I remember right. But no, like the other nasty thing that needs to be looked into is how what Ticketmaster and Live Nation do to the bands now. Like, basically, there's like a merchandise agreement. Not agreement. It's to sell merch. They take like 20% of the merch.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you're like a big name band, you're selling like, I don't know, $20,000, whatever. Okay, that's not bad. But if you're like a small band and you're selling like 4 t-shirts, well, they're taking a t-shirt from you.
Well,
I mean, that adds up. So, yeah, that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
That's all taking Master Live Nation stuff.
Oof. Yeah. I was unawares of that, those shenanigans.
Yep. That's dirty. Somebody, well, they're not running anymore, but someone from Sword posted it.
Things are so much different than they used to be. No, still swindling out there. Just different, just different versions.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but no, that was the Mark Singer show. That was the last one we went to. That was quite the experience. So yeah. I'm on the fence. I might go. It's a Saturday. But Municipal Waste and High on Fire are playing in Columbia.
An hour
away, but I'll stay overnight. I don't care. That'd just be fun.
Yeah, I think I did see that tour. I'm not sure if it's in town or not.
But I don't know if she was going to want to go to that one.
Oh, no.
You know?
No. I don't even think I was going to talk her into Turnstile. And I'm like, there's a rapper opening up, and then there's like a emo band that I was not surprised that my niece had told me about. So, and then there's Turnstile. Like, it was kind of an interesting lineup.
I haven't been to something like that in a while. Like, the last one that had, like, a diverse or a goofy lineup like that, I think Cypress Hill was the opening band. 7 Year Bitch, Funk Dubious, which is hilarious, and I got it all wrong. 7 Year Bitch, Funk Dubious, Rage Against the Machine, and then Cypress Hill.
No?
That's a fun lineup. Like,
yeah.
But I haven't seen like a goofy lineup like that in forever.
This one wasn't as goofy, but it definitely had some changes in in presentation, because that the final Slayer tour was Primus, then Ministry, then Slayer. So, like, no one really sounded the same. And Primus being included was interesting but awesome, because Primus.
Dude, I've seen them two or three times now. We've never made it through the whole show. I don't know. Primus never hit me at all. I like some of the songs, but just never. Like, he does a really cool visual thing.
Yeah.
But, or they do, because it's the original band again. But it never really hit me. I don't know why.
Yeah, all the bass players that I knew in Altoona were always big on Mr. Claypool, and that's certainly carried over to yours truly here. And hey, I mean, he did South Park's theme. How bad can he be?
I know you're gonna say no, but did you watch the 25th anniversary of South Park concert?
I did not.
That was pretty cool. Like, they had, like, you know, Les Claypool was there. Matt and Trey were playing the instruments and singing the songs. it was at Red Rocks in Colorado.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it was huge. And Rush was there, the remaining members.
Oh.
They had a ton of legitimate musicians there. It was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's something that I've, for whatever reasons, the last couple of seasons or last things that they've done, that's the first time in, you know, however long their run has been that I stopped watching their stuff.
Yeah, it's been a few years since I've watched.
You know, so yeah.
I kind of checked out when we got to PC Principal.
I made it past the PC Principal stuff, but yeah, they started kind of taking the longer breaks, it's kind of weird, because I feel like moving to the house was the trigger for me to stop watching, and I don't know, you know, like, it wasn't the move itself, like, I still have a DVR, like, but for some reason I just, never said it, because... Well, I guess just because of the infrequency of it being on, like, I just didn't think about it.
Yeah, because they would run 8 episodes,
and then come back
6 months later. And then with all the other stuff they do now, you know, it does take away from it. I know they say they still love doing it, but when you've got Broadway, music, movies, everything else, and whoever else knows what you're producing, it takes time away from your baby. So.
Oh.
And also, it's like, how much can they still keep doing? And I, like I said, I haven't watched it in a while, so some of it can still be very funny, but I just haven't seen it.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't...
Especially with them getting older, too.
I do get some commentary back, but I even think that my buddy that I used to talk to at my old office about South Park all the time, he's kind of dropped off a little bit, too.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I know you don't watch Walking Dead anymore.
Yeah, that's been years.
We're 4 episodes away from completing the series. Or 3. Thank fucking God. I'm only watching it because I started at the beginning and I want to see it through to the end. Dude, it is a gigantic waste of time. They introduce a bunch of people you don't care about.
Final season.
No, they did this. They did this a couple seasons ago because all the people you do care about, they killed off, or they left the show.
I mean,
they killed Carl. Rick, they killed, but he's still alive. Michonne left to go find him. Who else? There's something else. They're trying to turn Negan into a good guy. So him and Maggie have, like, they're, like, coming together as, like, a common bond. And I'm like, this is idiotic. I mean, all you had to do was follow the comics. That's all you had to do. And they just insist, like, as soon as they killed Carl, I was like, what are they going to do? Because he's one of the only survivors. but I mean, they're just dragging shit out.
Because like, oh, that was Rick's son?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because the kid wanted to go to college, so like, all right, cool, kill him off. I'm like, well, he's like, I was gonna come back and still do the show. Ah, oh, so you're dead. Oh, okay. So, well, yeah. And now they're gonna have spin-off series. So unless they're doing what the comics did, which would be pretty clever, they're having a show about Negan and Maggie working together.
Okay.
Oh. Rick and Michonne are gonna get like their little 5-episode show to like wrap up their story. And then Daryl's getting his own show.
Oh, this is not surprising. The last one is the least surprising thing on that list.
Well, there was... Okay, but here's the problem. The series isn't over yet. So by doing this...
Oh.
You've just taken every single shred of drama out of this.
Oh, now, yeah.
And what I meant, what I was getting at with the clever part is... The comics... It ended, and no one knew it was ending. He kept soliciting issues after the final issue. So I think it ended with like 213 or something like that. They had solicitations for like all the way up to like 216, 217.
Oh.
And they told the comic stores, order a lot of issue 213. And like, why? Like, trust us. And that was it. Didn't tell anybody, didn't even tell the comic stores, no one. Series ended. So, what I'm hoping they're doing by showing these, like, goofy spin-off shows or whatever, that something actually happens to these people.
Oh.
And it's all kind of like what the comics did, but I don't have faith in the show to be clever or creative anymore. So... I mean, dude, they're still getting overrun and snuck up on by walkers.
Uh-oh.
Like, they get on higher ground. Like, what are we supposed to do? And they've got a giant stick, and they're just stabbing them in the forehead. I'm like, just keep doing that until they're all dead?
Yeah, that's another one where it's just... I've got to think that in some time period, I know that people continually die... But you do have to be kind of running out of people, right? Like, you've pretty much headshotted a large amount of the population that's already dead at this juncture.
Well, yeah, but then they kind of like, what they call them, herds, whatever else, there's more of those now. So you get your stray ones here and there, but now there always seems to be herds. And like, they've tried to establish that there's not a lot of people left. Okay. So like, if there's like 20,000 people on the entire eastern seaboard, that's a lot of dead people.
Yeah. You know? That is true. I guess they don't really give the number of people.
Right. What the fuck just happened? In the middle of the football game... They just went to the pregame of the... What? Huh? They just went to the pregame of the game I was watching. Okay, well, let's turn baseball on it. So, I've always loved these Phillies uniforms, too. The blue and red.
Oh, yeah, they are definitely the childhood uniforms that I remember.
Well, I was informed, and I didn't realize this because the Tigers didn't have them. Back in the early 80s, all the away teams had road blues.
I don't remember the Pirates ever having blue.
Yeah, there were certain teams that didn't, but mostly everybody had blue away uniforms.
Yeah, because I think the Pirates have always been a very light gray.
Yeah, so weird. Well, two former Tigers fight facing each other. Boy, it would have been a shame to keep both of them. Anyways. I know we haven't gotten to wrestling or anything yet, but real quick on the football thing. Lions fans and Lions journalists are the most delusional, stupid people on this planet. I see Shahid bitches about Philadelphia people. I'll take them. I'll take them. Okay. Okay. So, and it comes from, like, you could put Michigan State ahead of Detroit Lions fans, but I'll get to that in a second. Lions fans are actually saying, or like, there's a legitimate section of the fandom that is saying Dan Campbell needs to be fired.
Okay. How long has he been? Is this only his second year?
This is his second year. This is the GM's second year. This is most of the staff's second year. And I'm glad you said that. Because Sheila Kemp, who runs the Lions now because of her mom gave her control, she came out and said, we did a complete teardown, not just of the team, but of the entire organization. We have new people in so many different parts of this organization that we're still coming together and that we're still building. We all believe in what we're doing here. We all believe, you know, that the results aren't what we needed. By the way, get to that in a second. The results aren't what we expected. You know, we have a good coaching staff in place with this and this. And so one of the fucking reporters goes, so there won't be a coaching change. And she didn't say no.
Oh.
No. She goes, no, I think we have the right coaches in place. You know, we did a complete teardown, so we just need to have patience. All you have to do is say no. I literally just got done saying, we rebuilt this entire team. There are people on the Lions that won't be in the league next year. That won't be on practice squads next year. And yet they still scored, I know they had two bad games, they still scored 48 points, 40, like, whatever.
No.
But I don't, that goddamn Hard Knock show made everyone think they were going to be good. There wasn't a chance in hell they were going to be good this year. Never! All I wanted was at least get near 500. That's still achievable, good enough. But this, one, ownership, I can't believe she didn't just say, no, he's not getting fired. Did you not hear what I just said?
And
how do you have a 5 or 6 year six year plan and then go, yeah, we're going to change direction? Oh, I know, you're the Detroit Lions. That's why it would happen, actually. But any fan who's like, I can't believe this, like, oh my God, he needs to go, shut up. One, you're an idiot for rooting for him, so there. I don't get emotionally invested, but I hate stupidity. And that's just stupid.
Yeah. I might think the coach is Petcoon Goofy, but yes. Yeah, you got to give him time. You know, like, some people kind of are into that thing, and maybe he is. I don't know if he's that crazy all the time or not. I would assume not.
But they're in the 18th month of a complete rebuild.
Oh,
they
yeah.
got rid of everybody except for some reason TJ Hockenson or JT, whatever. I don't care handle lines anymore.
Yeah, TJ, I believe.
And they trade him, get more draft picks. They pick four times in the top 80 picks. In the first two rounds, they have four picks next year. In the year after, they're going to have three in the top two in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
So a guy that didn't stay healthy, who was pretty good when he plays, they trade him in division, kind of sucks, but okay, you got Jared Goff throwing to him. He ain't going to be the quarterback in a year or two. So save the cap space and do something different. Like, it's, and then the reason I'm saying this now is now I was reading articles about the GM being under fire. What the fuck is going on? How do you have a 5-year plan and a year, like a year and a half in, all of a sudden people say, "Whoa, this isn't working."
Guys,
you build something. Say Legos, motherfucker. Like,
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're doing all the things that you're supposed to do in a rebuild. You know what I mean? Like, I am unaware of everything that's going on, but if they have 4 picks this coming year and 3 the next year and the first two rounds,
yes,
that sounds like your plan is working currently. Yeah.
And then, why do you want a tight end that doesn't stay healthy, that makes $8.3 million or something like that, and then could make upwards of $20 million a year? No, bye. Go. Not for a team that sucks. Sorry.
Yeah, that is, having a great tight end is not really your top priority. It's nice to have, not necessary, though.
I just don't. Maybe it's just because it's easier to access, but I always see people. I guess we kind of do it with wrestling, but I always just see people. Like, I read stuff about Tomlin. People want him out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I laugh every time that I hear that, just because of the amount of nonsense that I think is involved in that. I think is pretty well documented on this podcast.
One thing I will ask you, though. How do you guys always have an offensive coordinator that none of the offensive guys like? How do you repeatedly do that? Everyone, what's his, Matt Canada? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Everyone hates him. Who's the guy before him? Todd Haley? Haley?
No, Todd Haley was a couple ago. Now.
Everyone hated him, too.
Yeah, even though Todd Haley, well, yeah, Todd Haley didn't hate, they didn't hate him when Le'Veon Bell was running wild on people, but that, and Antonio Brown was just clowning every cornerback in the league.
Yeah, true.
That made his job a whole lot easier.
Yeah, it is funny how that happens, right?
Yeah, when you have, like, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, one of the maybe at worst top 5 running backs in the league, and at worst one of the top 5 receivers in the league, yeah, it's, things can pan out pretty well. But yeah, again, like, that, it's not like that time period was only like a 4-year time period or something crazy like that. And, yeah, it took a while to get to that point. Like, I think that that was, like, 4 drafts of drafting offensive linemen on top of, because Bell was a second-round pick and Brown was 6th, I think. So it's not like those two, they didn't pick those two high, but they were investing in the high picks in the linemen and getting them in later rounds. I mean, that plan took a while to come together. So if Detroit seems to be at least trying to follow the prototype for how to rebuild.
Yep, but fans don't have the patience. I mean, I understand we're getting older, so it makes sense. I'm positive I don't have 40 years. Oh, okay, maybe. I don't know. But... And then you saw that nonsense that happened that Michigan State did?
I didn't actually watch the video. As far as I read, it was a 4-on-2 attack.
Oh, no. It was a lot more than 4. So basically, Jermon Green and I can't remember the other kid's name, Burroughs. The Green brothers always go... They don't mill about on the field. They run into the locker room after every game. Hurry up, get their stuff ready, because their dad's a truck driver.
Uh-huh.
So he drives from Texas every Saturday, wherever they're at, to watch. So he does his routes that way. So he's running in the tunnel, and the Michigan State players attack him. And so, everyone's blaming the tunnel. Fucking idiots. 2, did he talk anything? What kind of world are we in that, well, what did he say? Like, it's victim blaming shit. And then I go, oh, wait a minute. This is Michigan State. Typical bitch shit coming from that low rent school. And they're low rent fans. Just, ugh. I'm saying this with all seriousness. Ohio State wouldn't do something like that. And I'll guarantee you, Penn State guys, yeah, they were throwing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which is good shit, but it's kind of funny. As much as I despise those two schools, they're not going to do something like this. But this low rent garbage from Lansing, not a surprise.
Yeah, that is wild.
Hitting a guy, like, it was at one point it was like 8-on-1, and one guy is just like they're holding him down. The other guy's hitting him in the head with a helmet.
Oh, goddamn, yes. Man!
Oh yeah, he got a concussion, broken nose, cut his face up. Yeah, this wasn't just a fight.
Assault. Holy shit! People are trying to defend this.
Yes, they're trying to say, well, why were they in a tunnel with him? Why were they? What did they say to him? Doesn't fucking matter. Like, I know we talked about we go into wrestling, but I know we talked about, like, you know, CM Punk and all that stuff, right? They were throwing fists, except for Ace Steel, who was biting people. But at least it was like people on people. You know, it wasn't an attack. Well, I guess it was an attack, but, you know, one, they're not throwing helmets. It's not 10-on-1.
Yeah, it was, you know? Even though the sides might not have been completely even numbers-wise, it was definitely not 10-on-1. It was more like 3-on-2 or something like that?
Yeah. Unless you count Larry the Dog. But no, it's, yeah, you see that stuff all the time, and there are actual Michigan State, like, podcast blogs, and actual journalists that are trying to pin it on Michigan and how the tunnel's set up. That thing's been around for 100 years. This has never happened before. And it was 2 weeks after James Franklin didn't tell his team to get in the locker room. So, follow the protocol, shit doesn't happen. But, whatever. They can't do anything about it anyways. There is no way to build another entrance. I've been there quite a few times. So.
There's always a way. It just depends upon how expensive that way is. But with that thing being built into the ground, unlike a lot of other stadiums, that is definitely going to take more work than pretty much anywhere else.
Yeah, you know what's easier? Not having your Michigan State players be animals. A lot easier to be, hey, it should be a lot easier to go, hey, don't hit people with a helmet. There, that's easy. That's done. You don't have to dig another hole or whatever.
Oh.
And that game wasn't, what drove me nuts is that game wasn't even close. That final score, they didn't need to score touchdowns. And I know you don't want to settle for field goals. You don't. But at no point in that game did Harbaugh ever go, I should probably go for it here. No, Michigan State offense ain't scoring. So we just keep kicking field goals all day. So.
Okay. I was wondering where that was going since. I thought that the score looked kind of blowouty. But I really don't remember what the score was.
Yeah, I think 29-7, 29-10.
Oof.
But it's like, they had 4th and 1, 35-yard field goal. 4th and 3, 37-yard field goal. Like, they could have gone for it.
Oh, yeah, they were...
No reason to. Why risk it when you know you got a guaranteed 3? When the other team can't score. So.
Yeah, they're gonna. They might have to go against those. Go for those against other opponents, but
there's only one game left this year. Well, two, but or more depending on how that one goes.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, which looking like that's gonna be one hell of a fight too.
Oh yeah, that'll. That'll be interesting. That game is a point of trying to move Thankmas off of Ohio State, Michigan Saturday.
Oh yeah, oh god, that's right. That is in CBUS this year.
attending, I don't think is the reason, but. Yeah, there's some annoying stuff that always happens at the old DeFrango household during that game. Everyone has that uncle, and there is that uncle in our family. It's just like, just come on, man. We know that it's an act, so can you just stop? Just. Unnecessary.
What a great word you use, the act. Because when we watched AEW this week, the worst possible act they have going added somebody new. I'm so happy I didn't tell you what happened last night.
There were levels to my shock during that whole thing. And I guess to get this off on a proper foot for our Stunt Granny audience here, Jeremy texts me like, oh my god, this first segment in AEW. And, I think at this point are known that you do not like Jay Lethal. So I'm like, oh boy, okay, so Jay Lethal is starting this show.
It's not just him. I don't want Sanjay Dutt or Satin Singh on TV either. So it's a triumvirate of get the fuck off my TV.
Yes. So I thought that was the triggering moment for you.
No, that's why I was so happy when I got your text.
Much to my dismay, when I do get around to watching AEW, I did immediately text you and go, wait, what the fuck? I was like, oh, is it just because these idiots are on to start the show? You're like, nope, just wait. And I'm like, oh, man. There was just some dread setting in after that. And, yeah, one of the things... I love Darby Allin. The man's not going to have a long career, but he's trying to make sure what he does do when he's around is worth your money. Him doing the cannonball into Satnam Singh was. On the highest magnitude of dumb things that he has ever done.
I'm gonna be totally honest with you. I don't remember much about this match.
That's one of the few things because that led into the finish.
Who won the match? I don't know.
Jay Lethal.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right.
Because
that's probably why I blanked it out.
Because fake Sting shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a lot in this segment. And I need to pull it up because I could not remember that dude's name to save
Dimes.
My...
We'll just call him Dimes.
Because what... Oh my! Oh, that's what. Okay, yeah, Cole Carter.
Sure. You could have called him Jimmy Carter. I would agree with you. That's how little I care.
That's how little I remember that I had to look it up because, I was like, who is this dude? And if he is, what was he, Dimes? Or was he someone else?
I leaned on mute. No, he was Dimes. Okay. Stax is still there. Dimes is the guy they threw overboard.
Okay. Well, I suppose that's not good that he came over and they made a big to-do about it, and I already forgot who the hell he was in the span of less than a month. not a good sign, in my opinion. So yeah, okay,
that's I understand what you mean, but at the same point, same time, why would he be in the segment?
And then that's what is just that puts this segment into truly bizarre territory then, because of what follows. You have this moment where fake Sting costs Darby Allin the match. And then Jeff Jarrett shows up?
The Last Outlaw, Jeff Jarrett. Slap nuts. This is... Okay. Now, Jeff Jarrett is also going to work behind the scenes for live events. I guess they're going to try and run house shows or something. Cool. Okay. And that's where he should stay. Now, look. I watched that Ric Flair's last match thing. Fine. Whatever. He was fine. Jeff Jarrett's in-ring work has never really been the question. It's always been his personality and ability to draw money, which, by the way, yeah, we're still waiting on that. It's, like, what's, like, the derogatory term for, but it's a compliment, like, you're a good hand in the ring?
Well, right? that fits, I believe.
That's him.
Yeah.
Said, like, you were talking about his mission statement. I tuned out. I'm like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Like, the lifeblood of AEW comes from my family. Like, it does? I don't think Tony Khan looks like anybody in your family. His dad sure shit doesn't. So I don't know what you're talking about. And I actually tried to think, what Memphis guys work backstage with him? I don't think there is anybody.
No, not that I could point to. I mean, Road Dogg begged him for Tony Khan for a job, but he didn't give it to him, so. Even then, I'm not sure that you count him as Memphis, or.
But. But man, the bigger problem here is bringing in another person. And on top of that, or maybe this is 1A, 1B, and this is 1A, you're bringing in an old wrestler that, frankly, wasn't that popular. Remember when we used to vilify Jeff Jarrett for the way TNA was handled?
It's one of those things that I am so mystified by the cult of Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Just... the guy has kept himself around, and somehow he is, like, he keeps on almost becoming more prominent as the years go along, and he doesn't really do anything different. Like, yeah, he does bad with TNA, and it's just like, yeah, he's even better, and it's just like, huh? Like, how is he becoming more popular? I am so fucking confused right now.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate the comeback story to where he stopped drinking and got his life back on track. Awesome. The rest of it, I don't care. Like, was he ever, like, I mean, I'm being dead serious. Was he ever cool? I mean, everyone now kind of glorifies the whole J-E-F-F, you know.
Oh.
Was this... what's the song? With My Baby Tonight.
Yeah.
And, like, that was WWE's big thing. Like, when he got inducted to the Hall of Fame, that's all they wanted to talk about. That's all they ever showed. And then, like, I don't know. It's one, it's him. I don't want to see Jeff Jarrett on my TV anymore.
Well, in AEW in general, like, I thought that they had learned the lesson that we don't need any more old guys in the ring.
But, I mean, they kind of got rid of Jake the Snake.
Well, they did quietly get rid of Jake the Snake and not so quietly get rid of Tully Blanchard. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, okay, great. And it's just like...
Okay, So
Jeff Jarrett is just on that level. Like you said, like if he's working behind the scenes, great. If he can help you with other aspects of your, because far be it from me, the guy who's probably for like the last 2 months now on these shows say Tony Khan needs some help with backstage stuff.
Oh, he needs a lot of help.
I mean, I know that Jeff Jarrett isn't in and of himself the whole solution, but he can be part of the solution, you know? But I don't want him on my fucking TV. No. Like, but it's also one of those things that I see the reaction, I just go, fucking A, I'm stuck with this bullshit.
The reaction was kind of all right, and he says slap nuts, and everyone, oh, he said it, like, okay. And it's going to die in the vine, all right? And I don't think it's going to last. It sounded like he was going to try and bring an invading force in, if I put it that
way. Oh, well.
And you've got to be like, who?
And then that's the other thing, too. He's like, I'm going to be dropping body bags, and I'm like, dude, we know you're not murdering nobody. It's wrestling. Like, stop.
Yes. Yeah, that whole people talking that way is just like it, who was real guilty. That was Judgment Day when they were talking about, I'm going to eviscerate you. I'm going to break every bone in your body. No, you're not. That's literally never happened. Fell off a cage and it didn't break anything. I don't think. Tooth, I think.
Yeah, I guess they're going for, at least I understand that theirs is, they're trying to pull it from the imagery of their stable. I guess, I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to justify that a little bit, but.
Okay. You're thinking, like, wait, say that again?
I'm trying to understand. I think that the way that they're speaking is a little more in line with their characters.
Okay. Well,
essentially.
Their characters suck. Get them off TV. The idea, Darby Allin, remember there were pillars of AEW? Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, and MJF / Britt Baker, depending on what you, all right? MJF wasn't on the show. Darby Allin lost to Jay fucking Lethal in 2022. Sammy, I don't think, was on the show, right?
I don't remember. He was in the brawl.
Okay.
That was
it. And then Britt Baker did her own little interview.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But again, okay, so where I'm going with this is, here's a list of wrestlers that weren't on, that didn't wrestle last night, okay? It's a lot.
Yeah.
This is in no particular order. Ricky Starks, Sean Spears, who they just brought back, Sonny Kiss, if he's still there, Butcher and Blade, they weren't on, Sting, Matt Hardy, Ethan Page, commentary doesn't count, Ass Boys, showing up doesn't count, FTR, showing up doesn't count, Will Morrissey, same, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio, Danielson, Daniel Garcia, 2.0, Sammy Guevara, Eddie Kingston, Ortiz, Jamie Hayter, Riho, Nyla Rose, any of the other fucking women, including their champion, Best Friends, Private Party, Roosh, Andrade, Pac, all of Dark Order, Brody King, Miro, Malachi Black, Buddy Matthews, Jake Hager, Kip Sabian, who came back out of title shot we haven't seen since, Lance Archer, wherever he may roam. That's only the ones that came
wherever
off the top of my head.
He may roam.
And you bring in Jeff fucking Jarrett? And you keep putting Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and this other goof on TV? When you've got fucking Miro doing partying in LA on your goddamn dime. Roosh, who you signed and do dick all with. Andrade, who doesn't want to be there. You don't even have him on TV. Best Friends, who should be, you know, remember when they were a hot tag team? I actually do. Ortiz, sucks Santana got hurt, but okay. Eddie Kingston, who used to be a staple, remember how good his promos were?
That's the problem with him, though. I mean,
but I'm just saying, dude. They don't. All of these people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you bring in a, you bring another old guy. Nobody asked for.
Yeah, and there, and like you said, like there isn't any particular draw. Like I'm not with I. To me, I suppose the closest comparison that I can think of is Edge coming back in the WWE. He's not as old as Jeff Jarrett, but you're just going, hey, that would be pretty cool. Like it's been a decade. It would be fun to see Edge wrestle. Insert X, Y, and Z here. I know that that has not come to fruition for the most part. In that regard, it's a bad analogy. But to get back to the Jeff Jarrett part, there's no one that I'm sitting here going, oh man, I really wish Jeff Jarrett had a match with insert name here. You know what I mean?
That's never happened in my life.
Yeah. You know, so it's just like, he looked like he was in fine enough shape. You're still in your 60s, dude. I don't care. Like, I know you can't.
Honestly, I think Jeff Jarrett is only in his 50s. I don't care. 60s, 50s, doesn't matter. I'm starting to read online too. They did their worst ratings since July, like this week, which you can blame on the World Series as well.
No, oh, right.
Because they did throw a no-hitter using 18 pitchers last night. Talk about a diminishing something pretty spectacular. You can constantly throw a new pitcher in, and they count it like it's. I know it's still a no-hitter, but it's like, oh, it's a shared no-hitter. No. Anyways, but I'm actually reading now people having the same criticisms that I have or you've had.
Oh.
I'm like, where you guys been?
They're finally catching up to the cool kids.
That show last night was dull. It was paced really odd.
Well, you know, the other thing that stood out to me is just a general whole, because I'd have to go back and count, you know, without kind of noting anything specific. I believe there were 4 championship matches on this card.
Yeah, because they legitimately have 12 or 14 championships.
That sounds about right. Again, haven't really done a head count of them, but if you're counting the ROH stuff, you got Trios, you got All Atlantic, you got TNA, you got TBS, you got your heavyweight championship. Technically, I guess the FTW championship still exists.
I forgot about that.
I'm trying to think. Oh, women's. I did say women's main. No, I said TBS and TNT. I didn't say the main women's championship, which is interim, I suppose, currently. I don't know. What number am I up to? Just naming them off the top of my head.
Too many. That's what you're up to.
But, I mean, I just was laughing because they just had, what was it, Title Tuesday? Was that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, because it was after Battle of the Belts or something.
Yeah, in a week after Battle of the Belts. And they have another show in which there are 4 championships on the line. And on top of that, 2 of your babyface champions are doing the same gimmick. Orange Cassidy and Jon Moxley are on, like, every show defending their championships. Are you on crack? Get it.
But, like, Moxley wasn't defending last night. That was the title eliminator, instead of just calling it a non-title match. Which just sounds like WWE speak. But anyways.
Oh.
So, okay, here's my thing. Why? There's never, and we said the same thing, there's never consistent, there's never answers for anything AEW does. Like, why is he wrestling every week? Why is he wrestling people who have no business being in the ring with him?
And not only is he...
It wasn't Lee Moriarty's big thing that he wanted the pure title from Ring of Honor?
I think that was his stated goal.
Yeah.
But I don't remember for sure.
No, I think it was. So he's going after Moxley instead? Like, so...
Yeah. Well, and not only what? Moxley wrestled on, I didn't watch it because of travels, but Rampage. He wrestled on Dynamite last week, Rampage last week, Dynamite this week, and doesn't Moxley again have a match for Rampage this week? Or is he actually skipping a show finally?
I don't know. Well, Rampage is live now, so I don't think he's going to be there, no.
Okay, so, but still, three shows in a row, just so unnecessary for your main champion.
Even Roman Reigns, as much as that people hated it at first, when he wasn't on every week, it does make his presence a presence. He gets out, you're seeing the champion, and that's just showing up. That's not even wrestling. Where Moxley's there every week. Like, okay, I understand. Like, you're the heart and soul, whatever, but you don't need to wrestle every week. So, oh,
no. Like, at a minimum, if he feels the need to be on TV every week, yeah, have him do something else. Like, he does not need to be in a match every week. Or even if nothing else, like, I'm not sure why. I don't feel like I've seen that many, like, rando tag matches between, like, they still have a lot of warring factions. Have him in a Blackpool Combat Club versus the Jericho Appreciation Society. That's who the big fight was between, right? Like, have Moxley in a tag team match. Like, I don't remember the last time he was in a tag team match with one of his stablemates. Like, they're stablemates, but they're rarely, I should say, in tag team matches. So I'm feeling like Wheeler Yuta and Claudio had a tag team match at some juncture. But
yeah, that was on Rampage. With Moxley, right?
Oh, was it a six-man match?
No, Moxley took on somebody else, filling in for somebody, for Wheeler Yuta, who was in Japan or something. I don't know. I will honestly say, this was the first week where I was just bored.
Uh-oh.
Like, okay. Like, I know Samoa Joe won, okay, but I also... And people, the excuse is, well, you know, AEW shows for the AEW fans. Well, that's dumb. How do you grow? So, say you're watching TV, you're like, oh, wrestling's on. All right, it's AEW wrestling. Okay. What's Ring of Honor? Why are they defending, why are there Ring of Honor championships on this? Doesn't make any sense.
No. And that main eventing, somewhat regularly, your main shows, is, it's a choice. Not one that I would make. It's a choice, though. And because I feel like at least the scuttlebutt always seems to be, hey, Tony Khan's trying to make this a viable product. And it's just like, huh? Like, then honestly, just make it one of your YouTube shows.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like they're getting some sort of TV, whether it's a streaming or a YouTube show.
But yeah, it just seems like it's taking forever for that to happen, you know? Because wasn't it like summer at some juncture that they bought out the Ring of Honor tape library? Or was it even?
I want to say it was earlier than that.
And yeah, I was gonna say maybe it was spring, more like spring, that it, you know, back around April or something in that area. It's just like it feels like you've had enough time to put the training wheels on in your main show that you should be able to feature. You know, you've featured enough stuff that you could get it done.
It was March of this year.
March.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it really seems like it's been enough time that they should be doing the, you know, it's like a shit or get off the pot moment.
Yeah. Well, it's been interfering with AEW.
Yes.
I mean, so I don't know. Just going over that list of wrestlers again. Like, I know we got like a vignette for the House of Black coming back. All right.
What a bizarre thing that is.
Yeah, but it's like, alright, so where are these guys going to go? You going to put them back on Rampage? And again, just too many people with nothing going on. No baby faces have a program at all. Like, who's John Moxley going to feud with? No one.
Yeah. And I mean, he's even burning out his opponents that he shouldn't be fighting.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of impressive what he's doing. Because, yeah, I don't know. Like, you don't have him face Jericho right now. I'm trying to think of who else in the heel department. I mean, you're definitely not selling me on Jake Hager. I'm trying to think of who, you know, I mean, you kind of made fun of the Lance Archer thing. I suppose you could throw him in as a challenger at some point, but no one's going to buy it.
I wasn't making fun of Lance Archer at all.
Yeah, I'm not either. Like, it's just the situation that he's in. Like, I don't know if he's still doing dates in Japan or if he just is off TV.
Yeah,
you know, because he was another one that I feel like he came back relatively recently, and they're like, uh-oh, Lance Archer is back, and then just as quickly as he was back, he was off TV again.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be his neck, because he's competed in Japan, as far as I remember. So, but yeah, man, it's just too many people, not getting enough time, no storylines going on. MJF's the only storyline. I guess Jungle Boy and Christian Cage.
Which is a pretty weird one, too.
Well, Christian getting hurt didn't help that.
Well, and it just feels like one of those ones where they're like, oh, we're going to find out that Christian has a fake injury. And then it's just like another week goes by where it's not a fake injury and we're still stretching this. Because weren't they starting to advertise for Full Gear?
I think so.
Yeah, because they were definitely advertising for the next pay-per-view. And it's just like, okay, well, Christian isn't good enough to start advertising for Full Gear in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, you know, like his injury is his injury. But yeah, like it feels weird where it's on TV, but you can kind of tell that they're taking their time with, or that it's going to take longer than they expected for Christian to be able to compete against Jungle Boy, and it's really made the whole thing awkward.
Yeah, well, what's made it awkward is they've already had the Luchasaurus Jungle Boy match.
Yeah, and Jungle Boy lost.
Right. The end. Like, wait. What? Why wouldn't you have Christian ducking Jungle Boy and be like, no, you're not even worth our time. So no, you don't get your revenge on Luchasaurus or whatever. You know, stuff like that. Oh. Instead, it's like, oh, we have a match, Jungle Boy loses. All right, now he's going to take on Christian sometime. Like, what? We complain about WWE wrestlers not getting over because they don't win. Jungle Boy doesn't win. Darby Allin doesn't win anymore.
Oh.
Sammy doesn't win. So, it's just like...
Yeah, I can't tell you who really does win anymore. Because I'm even thinking... I don't remember last time he's had a singles match.
Well,
the fact that they keep on pushing they pushed War Joe more than Wardlow recently.
No, I mean, he's had matches. I mean, they were on Rampage, though. But it's like, there's no... One thing, I gotta back off. One thing they did do positive was Powerhouse Hobbs and Wardlow. That could be fun.
Yeah. That. I guess maybe that's part of the problem that John Moxley... Like, we were talking about John Moxley not having anyone to take on. That's kind of the problem with Wardlow. Like, who does he have to take on? You know, like, he's one of the few people that you could believe taking on Wardlow.
Did Wardlow beat Lance Archer?
Yes. That's when they started the whole synth... Because that's what Lance Archer came back for, and I think they started doing the Symphony of Power Bombs that match, actually.
I thought he only got one.
Maybe he wasn't doing the symphony. He got multiple. He at least got two.
Okay. Two is fine, but I couldn't see Lance Archer like, nah, we can do some more. No. I'm way too big for this. But no, like, there's nothing. And this Saraya, Dr. Britt Baker stuff, like, can we please get going already?
Oh, my God.
Jamie Hayter, like, the whole... Everything just seemingly gets aborted, and you don't get what you want.
Well, that the Jamie Hayter Tony Storm thing seems like one of those situations where, again, for whatever reason, the fans have gotten behind Hayter recently, physical or otherwise, their reasons for doing so, In some way, Shivani and Taz are like, oh man, Hayter is red hot right now. It's just like, Tony Storm came in and just didn't have things go right. And if she loses this championship match, it's just like, what a soft champion, you know? To me, it's a no-win position. Because a lot of people seem to want to see Hayter as champion, but to go back to the no one's winning, like, Tony Storm needs to keep on winning to establish her character in AEW. Like, she's just going to be another woman who's won a championship, but not really done anything of any importance after doing so. That division's a wreck.
And there's talent in there. I mean, unfortunately, Ruby Soho got hurt.
It got better there for quite some time. And, you know, and we still have the whole Jade Cargill is in her own division situation going on.
dude. I forgot about this one. Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero coming out during that match.
And doing commentary.
Why? Like, I'm always going to say this. Wasn't AEW supposed to be different than WWE?
They're kind of bad WWE right now.
Yeah.
They're not good WWE. And
that stuff was terrible.
Yeah, Vicky Guerrero still having the same catchphrase. Lord only knows how many years later at this point. I don't feel like counting or looking it up. I mean, I suppose one of the few lines that I actually remembered was Taz going, "Well, I think we're safe with our jobs, guys." I'm just like, agreed, Taz. But yeah. That also means, because it wasn't like one of those annoying get them off my TVs. It was more of, I would really prefer to just turn this off right now.
Remember Leo Rush and Bobby Lashley? Yeah, but those vibes. And again, speaking of people we don't need, why is Vicky Guerrero there?
Oh.
Nyla Rose can talk just fine. Don't need her. Bye.
Yeah. She has been one of the few that somehow survived the manager cuts. She's still not useful, though.
Yeah, it's not even like, oh god, I wish she'd stop. It's go away. I'm watching a different product because I want something new.
Oh.
I want something different, not something from 10 years ago. If not even more now.
Ooh, you are being generous, and you're gonna make me look it up now, aren't you?
I mean, it's just like, why? You don't have to throw out money to everybody that you used to like. I mean, it's a business. It's not a fantasy league. And that's how this stuff is being treated. Ooh, Jeff Jarrett's out there, and I'm gonna get him. I always liked his action figure. Hey, Tony, we don't really need him in the ring, but behind the scenes, sure. Yeah, he wrestles. So we'll put him out there. Vicky Guerrero, she could probably help pull out some, you know, personality. We'll put her on TV. Lance Archer's just a maniac, so we'll have Jake the Snake be his mouthpiece. Why? Because it's Jake the Snake. All right, boss. You know, it's none of these are needed. And we didn't even talk about the All-Atlantic title is now going to be defended in Atlantic City against Shibata, a guy who almost died in his first match back on Rampage for a title. Why the fuck does this guy get a title shot?
It goes back to Jon Moxley and Orange Cassidy doing the same gimmick at the same time. It's just like, oh yeah, just sign a contract and I'll wrestle you in a match. The only thing, honestly, that I thought was, oh, is this why we have the Japanese flag on the All-Atlantic Championship? Because people from Japan are going to wrestle for it?
But the guy almost died.
No, had no idea.
He's not supposed to wrestle. His first match back isn't even for the promotion he used to be in. Because they're like, no, you ain't wrestling for us.
No.
Go make that American change.
Well, that seems like you're taking on some risk.
All right, so I've got a list of AEW wrestlers that weren't on the show this week. Do you want me to go over these again?
Well, some of them were on... Some of the ones that you did name were in skits.
Sure.
Because, but, like you said, the House of Black guys were on there, which I guess that was another one that was fascinating to me. I'm like, hold on, wasn't everyone saying that what's his name was gone? Aleister Black, Malachi yeah. Black was
he
gone.
Said, I'm not releasing anybody, so you have to come back. He's like, all right. So
Yeah, that's just like, yeah, that's one that's just tough to see. I understand that you have to come back, but it's just, there's just not been any good gusto for those guys. Like,
they're relegated to Rampage and no one watches that.
You know, and you even mentioned, I know he's not Rusev anymore. What the fuck is his name?
Miro.
Yeah, like, he came back for, like, he was another guy. Oh, I'm back. And then just crickets ever since.
They had that match with him, Darby and Sting versus the House of Black. They won. Haven't seen him since. The end. It's like, you've got an actual guy that turned it around and created a pretty cool character and gimmick, whatever, and gone. And I know he was, like, filming a TV show, but, okay, he's not now.
Well, maybe that's one of those classic, if we're comparing AEW to WWE, that's one of those, I can't depend upon you now, so I'm not going to book you for anything.
And I'd be like, kind of gimmicks. Why didn't you give me permission to go do it? Because, I mean, you're not just going to up and go, hey, Tony, I'm taking some weeks off to go do a TV show. Oh, okay, cool. I'll just cancel all the plans I had for you. Or at least put it this way. I hope that's not what happened. That's stupid. So, anyways. On a positive note, NXT was on this week.
Oh. You know, I had to laugh, speaking of NXT, I was unawares until, I believe yesterday, that, Bodhi Hayworth was not coming back to WWE TV.
Yeah, because I guess it's gotten out, I guess they weren't happy with his work ethic. He was showing up late for shows, or not at all. Late for TV? For TV? Like, who do you think you are? And I'm being dead serious. Like, who do you think you are? You're an entertaining act, but as they've shown when they cut people, anyone's replaceable.
You are the head mascot of a fake university. Yeah, you're, like, as fun as it is, and there's kind of a position for that type of an act, yeah, that is, things have gone to your head entirely too quickly.
Yeah. Now, my favorite part of it was, I like the Chase U stuff. I think it's fun. And Duke Hudson, not only just taking up the flag, the busting through a wall like the Kool-Aid Man. It was so unnecessary. I started laughing. I'm like, what's going on? Oh, I'll do it, Mr. Chase. And I'm like, he called him Mr. Chase? I'm like, what?
It is definitely bringing something out of Duke Hudson that I did not expect.
But now, or, but here's the problem. If Bodhi was still around, you'd be like, oh, he's trying to slime his way in.
Oh.
Now, is he still trying to slime his way in? Or are they like, all right, we're just going to go with this instead? You know?
Like, I hope that it is the latter. I hope they just run. Like, it seems like one of those things that could be really, I think Chase, you kind of needed someone who could win. And I think that you could turn Duke Hudson into that and kind of just change his, yeah, like, I mean, he's been dead in the water.
Yeah.
Recently.
Well, he came in as a gambler. I'm really good at cards. Cool, Duke. Who cares? But
yeah, they gave him a shit gimmick to start with.
Oh, yeah. But I'm really curious, man. Part of me really wants it to just be what it is. The other part is, you know it's coming. he's just going to do something because they've got the other chick trying to buy the land Chase U is on.
Uh-oh.
So is he, like, in cahoots with her?
He's in cahoots with Kiana James.
Yeah.
So
there's that. But, all right. So yeah. Let's just make sure we're on the same page here. This is a storyline involving a fake school, a fake university, a fake class that this guy is infiltrating to buy to help another person who isn't really in business and is going to buy land that doesn't exist for a university that doesn't exist. It is like, it's the best thing on the show.
I mean, it truly is a soap opera angle. Like, it as much as the whole wrestling is soap opera thing kind of gets thrown around, that they don't quite have storylines like this most of the time. There's not usually fake universities being bought. Like, it is kind of weird, and like you said, it's a lot of fun. Like, what's his name? Yeah, Andre Chase is hilarious. And what's her name is the perfect student.
I always forget her name.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is. That's kind of killing me right now, honestly. Because, is it Thea something?
I think so.
Yeah, Thea Hale.
That's it, yeah. Who chose Chase U over... What, Alabama and Florida State or something? Like, okay, sure. Your big ass school. But yeah, man, it's just fun.
Well, like, that Pretty Deadly, that Pretty really, Deadly honestly, that segment kind of started the fun stuff with Chase U. Because they started doing the whole fake real university kind of gimmick.
Mm-hmm. And, especially when they took him overseas on a field trip.
Oh, yes. Okay. yeah, they were on a European tour, and it was a trip. Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, but when Chase U started, the best part was just him swearing, and now it's like he's an actual mentor.
Oh,
it's just bizarre. Yeah, he goes off on people, but he is in it. Like he was like scolding Duke Hudson, "We don't cheat here. Go away." Like, wait, I thought you were supposed to be a bad guy. But anyways, they're not now. And then Duke's like, oh my god, walks off, and then tries to do it. And then comes back to help.
Oh.
So there wasn't even, like, the next week, like, hey, where were you? Well, you told me to go in the back. In this case, he broke the rules and came and did it anyways.
No.
Just dumb shit like that, so...
That's some funny, funny shit right there.
The rest of the show was pretty cool. I don't know. It was fine this week. I still love Pretty Deadly. I'm glad they got them back to being Pretty Deadly and not, you know, dressing up as sports fans and all that stuff.
Yeah, they've kind of dropped that little part.
Now, the one weird part was... Bron Breakker not grabbing, but stroking his hair, going, oh, yeah, this is pretty soft. Like, I don't know if Bron would be doing that.
Oh, soft hair?
It was just an odd thing. Oh. It was just an odd thing, but, and then, I don't know.
Because I'm running through the stuff, and yeah, it was kind of because there was the Odyssey Jones comeback. I'm like, oh, okay, so he was injured, huh?
Exactly. The Odyssey Jones back on NXT.
What? Yeah,
like he had one match and then was gone. So okay.
And good on. I think that I conjured up. R-Truth sightings here recently because
I was going to talk about that.
He's next. Been here, there, and in everywhere after me saying I don't feel like I'd seen him recently and did they get him cut or something. They're like, oh, no. He's still here, and he is still extremely popular with all of the fans, no matter where he goes.
Yeah, and then I hope, like, I was hoping that was an injury angle, but it doesn't look like that was.
Oh, yeah, that looked not good. So, like, I don't, that was one of those ones where I'm like, why is R-Truth doing this right now?
Yeah, because he got, what, his left foot caught on the top rope? And that kind of propelled him and smashed it down on the ground?
Yeah. I don't know if the rope part hurt him the most or the smashing on the ground did. It looked ugly altogether.
Yeah, I get the feeling pulling it on the top rope is what probably started it. He's not a small dude. So, your 1 foot catches, like, your foot's not supposed to be yanked back like that. So,
oh, no.
And then slingshotted onto the ground. Damn. But yeah, but my favorite part of that, though, was he crashes to the ground. He's grabbing his knee. And Grayson Waller, like, does the, hey, I'm okay thing with his hand on his foot. And I'm like, yeah, buddy, it's about you right now. I mean, I know he didn't know, but it was still just a funny thing. Like, this guy's legit hurt, and you're going, hey, I'm okay, I'm okay. Well, I'm not. So, get off. So, it just sucks. You know, Truth isn't a spring chicken either.
No, he is probably Jeff Jarrett's age.
Yeah, we already look. He is, like, what, 49, 50 years old, so.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was. Odyssey Jones. They did the whole 1 year of Mandy Rose is champion stuff.
And all the fires, the one that broke it up? We already had this.
Yeah, I could not be less inspired. I guess I understand that Alba Fire was great at some point in NXT UK. Still didn't see it. But yeah, it seemed like she got a fairly definitive win. That being Mandy Rose.
At
the pay-per-view. Like, I know that there were a little bit of shenanigans involved on the part of Toxic Attraction. But not overly so, I don't think. And it's just like, I really expected it to be someone new, and it wasn't. And that was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, no, this Alba Fire thing's not, she's not a good guy. Like, that's the problem. Kaylee Ray is a bad guy. So, why are we putting her in this role that she's not comfortable with, that doesn't make any sense? But, you know, whatever. That segment, I was like, oh, God, all right, whatever. Let's just keep going. Anyway, I forgot, we totally skipped over the Acclaim segment. That's enough about that. So.
Yep, it's popular. That's the best thing I can say about that.
It's getting long in the tooth, too.
It has been long in the tooth for about a month now, at least. And did not get better. But if half of your crowd brings Scissor Me signs and buys Scissor Me shirts, it's one of those ones where I'm like, ooh, I might not like this, but it is definitely here to stay.
Oh, and then going to suck everybody to buy those scissor fingers. Pretty clever.
Yeah. Kind of like I said on the show with Chris, if the WWE isn't printing shirts that say I'm feeling oozy, I will be disappointed in them.
Oh, God, that should already be out.
Yes.
That should have been out at the end of SmackDown.
Yes, they should have been selling that shirt after it happened on SmackDown.
Now, we don't usually talk about that. What else, real quick, what else happened on NXT? My worst nightmare, Cora Jade and Wendy Chu were going to feud. Oh, God.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were turning. You might have been turning a corner on Cora Jade, the heel. The corner has not come, huh?
I just don't want to see this.
Oh,
she's fine as a heel, but Wendy Chu is back in her damn pajamas. I'm watching it with somebody who, like, she watches wrestling when it's on. She's not a huge, I don't want to say not a fan.
But right.
She's got a different perspective of it as somebody who's coming into it. And she goes, that's stupid. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, Orange Cassidy, at least, you know, he's got a look to him. She, to be quite honest, those pajamas bottom, the pajamas in general, the onesie, is not flattering to her at all. She looks stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, the jumper kind of look that she had there was a better look. I don't know if they're trying to push her to the onesie or if she keeps on going there of her own volition.
Yeah, I just don't want to see it. Maybe, you know what? Maybe it'll surprise me because the Tiffany Stratton, Wendy Chu stuff turned out to be pretty great. And their blow-off match was good. Because she wasn't wearing pajamas, first off. But...
yeah, because... the other segment was Indy Hartwell beating Zoe Stark. This is one where I'm like, why is this happening? Well, for a couple of reasons. It seemed like you were going... hey, let's get Indy Hartwell back on track last week. I can get behind this. Then you have her wrestle Zoe Stark, who's supposed to be wrestling for the tag team championships, but now they're foreshadowing a breakup between her and Nikita Lyons, ?
I know. Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Zoe Stark and her are going to feud because they're going to lose next week. And Zoe's either going to freak out because she lost or freak out on Nikita because she lost. And I will say, it's at least dragging more of a personality out of Zoe Stark.
Yes, she has...
cliched or not, it is.
She has interacted better with Nikita Lyons and gotten more personality out of herself than... admittedly, that is the one problem with... doing the whole, hey, whatever, speak your own language kind of situation. Zoe Stark did not play off of that well with Io Sky. Or, yeah, whatever her name was before. Oh, Io Shirai. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, it has definitely helped that she's had back and forth banter to be able to engage in. I think that that's helped out. Because it was kind of one-sided when it was her and Io.
Yeah, and Io barely said anything, but she dominated it.
And that was the other thing that was weird. Like, is kind of forceful and strong as Nikita Lyons can come off. It feels like more of a back and forth between her and Zoe Stark that didn't exist between those two.
Yeah, I mean, I think this has actually drawn out a better personality for Nikita Lyons than the super tough, look at me, I can do everything chick.
Uh-oh.
Having them, express their friendship and why they were actually, legit friends at the PC Center and... how it's developed this and this. You saw a softer side in the Nikita Lyons, which actually helps bring out the other stuff. Like, it accentuates it on one on each hand. So I actually thought it was a positive.
Yeah.
But you're right. They're supposed to go for the tag team titles, and she's in a singles match, which I guess is because she was a hothead. That's how it can be explained.
Yeah. And, I mean, they were doing a good... like, it made sense in a storyline perspective because, yeah, they're saying that she's the one losing it, she's in her own head. Like, they're going with that, but I guess it almost feels like too short of a time frame. Like, it feels like they shouldn't be going after the tag team championships this coming week. Like, have her continue to get delusional, like, for multiple weeks, I guess. This is one where there are some things where I'm like, oh my god, why is this still going on? And this is one where it's just like, guys, you should give this a little, you know, give this a little breathing room here. Like, you kind of have something in it. Like you said, like, it might help everyone involved. Especially, it still feels weird. Like, I like both Caden Carter and Katana Chance. I mean, admittedly, I think their ceiling is about where they're at currently.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But... nonetheless, hey, that's good enough to get you on TV if you can at least be a tag team champion in the developmental area. And I guess it's kind of helping them a little bit, but it'd be nice to see them. I guess they did kind of have a fairly legitimate win the first time around. And I guess that's the other thing that's making it a little awkward for Nikita and Zoe. It's just like, Zoe's hung up on the restart of the match, and it's just like, well, you pinned the wrong person. Like,
exactly.
It isn't that hard. You guys weren't... Yeah, that is the worst part, I guess, of this angle. It's just like, you weren't screwed out of anything. Like... they just enforce the actual rules. Sorry that you lost.
I guess the other referee running down and going, hey, it's the wrong person.
Well, I mean, that is weird. Just because, you know, hey, wrestling. You can have something screwy happen 9 times out of 10 and another referee doesn't come down and say anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But for whatever, there is no ire at the referees because you can't do that.
No, but yeah. So you know,
I'm trying to. Oh, let's see if there is. Oh yeah, because we already talked about the pretty deadly stuff. I don't think there's anything else on NXT there.
No, we already touched on R-Truth. Like the tag match at the end was fine. Von Wagner, they need him something to do. So cool, Braun Breaker and him. That's fine.
Oh yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and Braun Breaker needs something to do too, and I think that matchup will fit quite well.
Oh, we have the sit down with the Schism, which I didn't really care about.
Oh yeah, The Rock's daughter on TV now.
Yeah, I just don't care.
They're moving the story along, I guess, with that group. How much I care is still up in the air, honestly.
Yeah.
She's made them a little more interesting, and I think that maybe the group can take on a different dynamic with her addition. But we'll see. Like, she's not going to be the same type of catalyst that Rhea Ripley is for Judgment Day.
Yeah, I like where that's going on Raw, too. Because you know it's going to be Raquel Rodriguez. Or is it Gonzalez now?
I guess it is Gonzalez, isn't it?
Yes, Gonzalez. So, but yeah, no, I like that. Just to wrap up the show, it's getting late. One of the things I have really enjoyed lately is, no surprise, everyone else has too, this Sami Zayn Bloodline stuff, he's just trying to make him laugh now. That's all he's doing. And that Friday one, I don't think it's going to get any better unless all of them just break on TV. Did you notice Solo wasn't in the shot at all?
Oh. No.
And he was. They went in tight, so you get the three guys. I'm sorry, they zoomed when, as much as we complain about production and the camera shots,
yeah.
Dude, they destroyed that. That was, I mean, that's hit the grand slam on top of a home run. When and shoots his head up and all this. And then they went in and they said he's not feeling real oozy. Jay cracks. You just saw John in the background just cover his face and like look, or Jimmy, excuse me, cover his face and look away in the background like, oh my god, I can't believe you just said that. Because you know it's got to be something that they've done backstage. And they're like, you're never doing this. Oh, I'm going to use it one of these times. Roman is smart enough to play into it too, because he can still look kind of a bully.
Yeah.
And then Solo, they just go, get out of the kid, just don't put him in the camera shot. I wish someone would say what was going, like, who was there live, what Solo was doing, because him cracking is the best one. Because his whole thing is he's stoic and even keeled and an assassin.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
That's broken.
Oh man. Yep. It is 100% the best thing going in wrestling currently.
Yeah. There's nothing better in wrestling right now than that story. And I think we all know how it's going to end. And it's going to be absolutely crushing when it happens. And that's how, like you said, that's how Roman's going to be heel.
Oh.
They kick his ass out.
Yeah, he will get the booze back when that happens.
Yeah. Yep. And then it's going to be probably Kevin Owens and Sammy against the Usos, and then sliding Cody or maybe The Rock against Roman.
Yeah.
Everyone will be happy. So.
Yep. Seems like a pretty logical way to go. Should everything align, and it does seem like it should align for them.
Yeah, and really, that could be all the way to WrestleMania. We're already in November. They could beat his ass up really good.
Well,
and have him disappear for a month or so.
And I mean, we're working also to, at a minimum, this storyline's going to Survivor Series. Minimum now.
Yeah, like, they haven't hyped at all.
Yeah, they seem like they're locked in for the War Games match. On the men's side.
Seems like it should be that way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I if they're not involved in some capacity, that would shock me. Who they're against is up in the air still, I think. But them being involved or not involved would really weird me out. Like, because there's no other big heel faction for the guys. I mean, Judgment Day is not making the War Games match. Because that's the only one that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And the baby faces are probably going to be a hodgepodge of baby faces taking on the Bloodline.
I'm going to guess Sheamus and the Brawling Brutes?
It would seem like they're going to be involved in some capacity. They might have an extra, but...
Not that bad.
Yeah, they seem to be the top choice currently.
Yeah, and now we know why they wrote Sheamus off, because he got married. So... It would make sense for Drew to come to his aid, too. Like, put everything in the past, whatever else, especially where they ended that one match.
Yeah, they can do that pretty easy.
Yeah, so, I don't know, they better hurry. That's supposed to be Survivor Series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting into the second week of November by the time they come back. So,
yeah.
Let's get a move on.
Well, speaking of getting a move on here for Stunt Granny Audio, 799 of all numbers here. Bell Time Beer on my end. Chili Water Brewing Company, Blood Tracks, Blood Orange IPA. This has been a week of Kevin Drinks beers that he picked up in Indianapolis this past weekend. Chili Water is one of several breweries. For whatever reason, there were three different breweries that had Blood Orange IPAs. I really enjoy one from Barley's Brewing Company here in Columbus itself. So I was interested. I'm like, oh, well, let's try these out. When I was actually at Chili Water, I believe I had their Autumn Harvest. So I did not try this one, but I got a mixed four-pack to go, and I put this in the mixed four. Yeah, it's a good combination. Like, I guess now that I've had three more Blood Orange IPAs, I have liked all of them. There's a little bit of sweetness, but there's also a little bit of bitter edge from the Blood Orange itself. So it blends in really well with the hops. And yeah, if you like the IPAs, I always suggest maybe give a whirl to a Blood Orange IPA. And yeah, if you're in Indianapolis, Chili Water is a good place to stop. So that is my recommendation from @DeFrango11. Do you have one, Mr. @GrannyMays?
No, I haven't had a drink in like 2.5-3 weeks now. I've not been feeling good, so, you know.
Fair enough. Fair
stick
enough.
Stick away. Or stick away? Stay away?
Stay away.
Whatever that word is. It starts with ST. So.
Then
this week. Oh, that Christmas cookie one from Sugar Creek is out. Did I send you one of those?
No.
All right. I will make sure to send you one. I will make sure you get one somehow.
Just
kidding. I'll send you some paperweights.
Well, to wrap this thing up the way that I suppose I normally do, the brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.